This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
Welcome to World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. I was immediately intrigued when I heard Nashville, by way of Brooklyn, singer-songwriter Lizzie Ngo called her new album a video game. As someone who grew up playing Final Fantasy, to see an album presented as an epic journey filled with leveling up and finding allies along the way was right up my alley. Today, Ngo joins me to talk about the album, Halfsies, the player character who set off on this adventure, Miss Freedom Land, and why she considers it a video game. We also get into how Ngo dealt with being saddled by genre labels that didn't reflect the music she made, and why she wanted to write a song about the prototypical loser in country music, but from the perspective of a woman. Plus, as the co-host of the podcast Basic Folk, I ask her who her dream guest to interview would be. The answer coming up in this interview. But before we get into our session, a small note. We touch on a lot of subjects in our chat, and there are a lot of laughs. But there are also a few moments where abuse and trauma come up. Our session begins with a live performance of Sleeping in the Next Room. It's Lizzie Ngo on World Cafe.
You're sleeping in the next room. The moon's a low shell. No one here to talk to. I'm talking to myself. And I'm afraid to tell. Barely
Thank you.
Recorded live, it's Lizzie Noh, Sleeping in the Next Room, a song from the new album Half Seas. It's the third album from the singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist, now calling Nashville home. Lizzie's my guest today. I am Kaleo. It's World Cafe. It's so nice to meet. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I kind of want to start with something that you said. Some albums are stories. Some are films. This album is a video game. Now, people who play video games, like especially role-playing games, know instinctively that the hero or the character is really an avatar for the person who's playing the game themselves. The agency shifts a little bit in that type of story. What interested you in presenting Havsies as a video game?
First of all, I am not comfortable being looked at. So I wanted to find a way to conceptualize this album in a way that would be very imagistic, but not objectifying to me as a person and as a voice and as a writer. I think especially as a woman songwriter, I've noticed over the years that I've gotten a lot of questions about like the personal side of like, you know, people love to look for Easter eggs. Who's that about? What's that about? The concept of the video game also helps me to describe what freedom means to me. It doesn't happen all at once. And sometimes you don't even know exactly where you're headed until you've gotten there. What my hope is that you start the album feeling like you're in the thick of battle. And by the end, you've gotten to somewhere else. And not just by riding along, but by gathering allies, looking within, processing things that have happened to you in your own life, processing what it is to be like a conscious person in America right now. Yeah. And then by building your skill set and kind of getting those courage points and those soul points that you need to get to the next level.
A great game has a great protagonist. Mm-hmm. Who is the protagonist of Havsies?
The protagonist of Havsies is Miss Freedomland. She's an adult, sort of, but
sort of.
Her driving force is that take no crap little girl. Just fully straightforward with who she is and what she wants and what's good and what's bad. She has a child's sense of justice. And over the course of the album, she learns who she can trust, who she needs to let go of, where the promised land is, and how to get there.
How did you build that work?
I was writing songs for this album starting in 2016. Mm-hmm. The song Havsies, I started writing way back. I wrote it in the same day that I wrote Hard Won, the title track of my first album. But I wasn't ready to sing it yet. I wasn't ready to share it yet. But the line, pain without a referent knocks me on my back, kept coming back to me. That line from Lagunita, it never occurred to me that grief should refer to something bad that happened. And it's kind of like a way of describing my inner life. I've dealt with major depressive disorder for many years, and it wasn't until I got a PTSD diagnosis that it sort of clicked that this ambient sadness and grief and mourning was connected to real events. It is hugely empowering to realize there's nothing wrong with my brain.
Yeah.
I've gone through stuff that hurt me, and my mind body is trying to protect me from future hurt by shutting down sometimes. So I had memory blackouts. I had moments where I felt like my brain was glitching, where if I would get sort of overstimulated or stressed, I would just completely dissociate and shut down. And I didn't have any idea where that was coming from until I got into some really good trauma therapy.
Wow.
So the concept Havsies is about those blank spaces where memories were supposed to go, feeling wounded without knowing why.
This is World Cafe. We're here with Lizzie Noh. The new album is called Havsies. We've been playing the song Lagunita. In your track-by-track listing, you said, don't pull your punches when you meet God in the desert after dark. Now that paints a picture. What is going on in Lagunita?
Okay, so you know in Genesis when Jacob is sleeping out in the desert. He's in between. He's on a little side quest.
Sure.
And that is so vivid for me in like the video game VR world that this album lives in. He's sleeping out in the desert, rock as a pillow, and in the middle of the night, a stranger comes over and wrestles him. Talk about homoerotic. Talk about how we all need to be when we're trying to get out of our own way. Like, if you meet someone that you realize is divine, or you have an experience that you realize in the moment is going to be transformative, it is not a time to mess around. You can't just passively wait for healing to come to you. And I really believe that we have to fight for our souls sometimes.
What does this mean for Miss Freedomland in the sort of grand scheme of the record?
Well, so she might not be sure who the angel is. Is it a lover? Is it an antagonist? I think many of the girlies can relate to not being able to tell the difference at times. And a lot of times you have to fight your way through patriarchal violence. Yeah. The other thing about it is that it's really poignant to me that Jacob was half asleep when this battle went down. I was assaulted when I was asleep at 21 years old. And a lot of my most traumatic moments in life come back to me in those twilight moments between sleeping and waking. So it's a really tender place, and it's a scary place sometimes. That nighttime, like, I'm vividly dreaming, I'm vividly envisioning, but I don't really feel like I have my full strength.
Let's take a listen to it. It's Lagunita from Lizzie No here on World Cafe.
Grief should refer.
Recorded live for World Cafe, it's Lizzie Ngo, a performance of Lagunita. The new album is called Half Seas. Lizzie's my guest on World Cafe. I am Kaleo. So sonically, I'd love to sort of talk about the record. It is broad. There are, sure, elements of country and folk and bluegrass, but then on like the album version of Lagunita and Getaway Car, there's some real rock vibes as well. Now, I know labels and genres are a nightmare to discuss, but what I
will... Oh, just kidding. No. I'm built different. I actually love genre categories, and I love being limited in what instrumentation and production choices I have so that my music can be more easily marketable in places like Walmart, Amazon.
End caps at Best Buy. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. You know,
I find that creatively nourishing.
What did the focus group say you should be?
We're still working on that, actually.
Were you ever put into a box that you just, I mean, clearly you were, but like what was the box and what, you know, like what ridiculous thing did you have to deal with?
It's all ridiculous. I don't understand how any artist is like okay with their genre box. I don't know even one interesting musician who's who cares about genre.
Right.
But a lot of other people do, I guess. Suits care. Most audiences don't care.
Not as much anymore. No. I really believe the Gen Z, millennial, Gen Alpha, they're going to do away with the process.
I think so too. And you know what was the turning point for me was Lemonade. When I heard Beyonce sing like with Jack White, I was just like, oh, okay, we're done with all of this. She was way ahead of the game on the multi-genre concept album. And this album, to me, is my Lemonade. because it's about freedom, but it's so personal. What were we talking about?
We're talking about genre, but
okay, cool.
we can go wherever you want.
I'm always trying to talk about Beyonce. Also, refusing to listen to genre rules is a big part of the project of getting free. Mm-hmm. Because the more time I've spent in folk and Americana and alternative country, the less clear it is what the aesthetic boundaries are around genre. I think it has a lot more to do with the body of the person performing.
Yeah.
I've done full, you know, folk sets and had people say, I love, you know, meeting new R&B singers. Like there's no intellectual rigor to what we call genre in this day and age.
So a chance for you to go, all right, I want to do something a little bit different and not worry about what you have to take out, but sort of be excited about what you could potentially put in.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus there was a time when I had a vision of maybe becoming a country singer, but I learned really quickly that nobody was interested in that. Like, nobody took me seriously as a country singer because I'm a Black woman. And like, I'm now saying it aloud very lightheartedly because I'm so happy with where this record landed with 30 Tigers and the Americana community, who just has been so embracing of my all over the place patchwork sound. And so it's kind of like when you get a no, you go somewhere else, you go around.
This is World Cafe. We're here with Lizzie Ngo talking about the new album, Half Seas. I want to play another song from the album. It's called Deadbeat. Take a listen.
I'm a deadbeat, dead ringer for a bad luck man. Oh, I'm dead set on doing better than my daddy ever did. I'm a wrong turn, sinking feeling. I'm a bad. You're a damn fool, true believer. You take me as I am.
So this is a fun twist. We're talking with Lizzie Ngo. That song is Deadbeat from Half Seas. This is a sort of fun twist on a trope that is quite prevalent in the world of country music.
Yeah.
I guess that's the most generous way I can say of putting it, but I should leave it to you. What interested you in writing a song like Deadbeat and what you wanted to maybe get away with?
Okay, I love this question. Because this is how I want to talk about this song. So many, it's always fun to perform it live because the people who love that song will come up to the merch table and be like, Deadbeat really spoke to me. And I'm like, okay, we're in the club. We're in the damaged goods club. Something that I love and also chuckle at a little bit, especially in country music, is the self-effacing hubris of men describing a woman as like, you're the angel, you're the Sunday morning angel that redeems all my Saturday nights, which is such an insulting way to describe a woman. And it keeps moral agency as men's exclusive territory.
That's a good point.
Men are allowed to be messy and outlaws and out on the range. And like in the genre, women are expected to be
attractive.
So narrow. Like,
but, and the attraction, like there's something great about being a down on your luck loser who can't get a job and gets into fights. Like that is one of the prototypical roles that a protagonist in a country song rolls with. But if you were to switch gender roles on that, nobody would expect that. Nobody would accept that.
And also like it, yes. Like it's like the bad guy who gets all the good lines. That's country music in a nutshell to me. Luckily, I'm not a real girl, never have been. I'm gender fluid. And I see a lot of dirtbag dude energy in my own life. So it was very fun to write a song from the perspective of like, no, I'm the bad guy. Shout out to Billie Eilish, I guess. But like, I'm the deadbeat. I'm the one that's like messing around and looking for someone to redeem me. Obviously, as a person, I don't take that on. But in the song, it was so fun to kind of act out like, I might tell you I'm going to stick around, but it's in the blood. You know, I'm a liar at heart.
And I'm sure it's probably like a bit of a like people who are not accustomed to that or only accustomed to it coming from a certain angle or a certain type of person. They may immediately have to confront some like, I don't like this person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you like the other protagonists of these songs that
ding,
are...
Ding, ding, ding.
It's a bro thing. You wouldn't understand.
You wouldn't understand. It's part of the brotherhood. The sons have got to do what the sons have got to do. I find that so fun.
It's World Cafe here with Lizzie Noh. The new album is called Halfsies. I'm going to pull an audible because you had a great live performance of a song that I think is previously unreleased that might kind of tie into some of the things that we're talking about. What's the name of the song?
The song is called Memphis in the Morning.
What is it about?
I've hesitated to talk about this in any recorded way, but I don't care. When I was trying to get signed, and God bless 30 Tigers, they've been the best.
Mm-hmm.
When I was shopping my record around and trying to figure out who was the team going to be, I had a meeting with an agent who books, I mean, a lot of cool artists in this alternative country scene. And we sat down for drinks talking about, you know, what's your vision for the next steps? I'm sussing out, are we gonna work together?
Yeah.
It became clear that he wasn't sussing that out. He said directly to me, like, they're never gonna put you on the radio. It's funny now because we love the transparency, to be quite honest. There are so many people who have like looked in my face knowing they never would have taken me seriously as a country artist.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually really refreshing to hear someone in the industry say the thing out loud that I felt to be true.
The quiet part, yeah.
Exactly. The good thing is I don't listen. I never have. That's why I'm called Lizzie Noh. I don't listen. So I just went and found another agent, found another label, and I wrote this song. I mean, immediately after we had that conversation, I was like, it's so insulting to have someone say, you know, you're never going to get recognition when you are literally pounding the pavement. You're on the road, a ton of dates on the road. You're paying for your own recordings. Like I was in the work, paying my dues and having someone basically behind a desk tell me it's never going to be good enough.
Right.
So in a rage in my car, I wrote this song.
So let's listen to the song on the radio. It's Lizzie Noh. Memphis in the Morning, here on World Cafe.
They're never gonna put you on the radio. They're never gonna let you in. All dressed up, no place to go. Slowly unraveling. Walk around like a lady, but you look like a helping hand. But the suits have spoken and the books are closed. They'll get you on the next one. Nobody ever seems to look your way when you burn that bright. It's a pretty good living over in the shade.
Memphis in the Morning, recorded live for World Cafe. It's from my guest, Lizzie Noh. The new album is called Half Seas. It's available now. I want to pick up this conversation sort of about Black artists, queer artists being represented in Nashville with country music. What is interesting is when you have an artist like Beyonce making a country record, some things are impossible to bury. And I don't want to call it a reckoning, but it definitely seems like there is now an acknowledgement, even from like the most stingy of radio outlets, music outlets, to go, oh, it's Beyonce, we have to play it now.
The good thing is that those stingy people are so much less powerful than Beyonce. Like imagine sitting around trying to litigate whether or not Beyonce is like worthy of being in your genre. Like, just get out of the way already. People want to hear Beyonce, no matter what genre of music she makes. And this is one of those moments, I feel, where genre is going to have to follow the will of the people,
yeah,
which feels really good. And we're no longer in an era where you can silence somebody like her.
Yeah.
Especially with social media. Like, the Beehive is much more powerful than our government, than, like, the entire music industry establishment. Like, it actually is so powerful to have someone with as much of a legacy, of a huge following, of an undisputable, like, musical prowess, mm-hmm, kicking down the doors, because the rest of us are running in behind her. And we saw a little hint of this with Lil Nas X. You know, ultimately I think his Old Town Road wasn't like able to be considered for country music charting and awards. But like, it was sort of too late because people already loved the music,
right,
and they already loved his personality.
It.
Yeah. And so Beyonce, how much more so is she going to be able to break down those barriers?
What do you envision like the next generation of people who are, I don't want to say deciders because that, mm-hmm, seems so weird, but like the next generation of leadership, mm-hmm, in Nashville and country music looks like?
I think it's going to be a lot of people who've done a lot of work in the margins, coming to the center, and those fringe points of view becoming really, really useful. Because, you know, I'm going to go back to my song, Memphis in the Morning. Like, the line that came to me in that song was, it's a pretty good living over in the shade, and you made the baby go blind. The problem with Black artists in country is not that we are not doing enough or that we don't fit. It's that we have perspectives that are fascinating, and we have a musical heritage that is essential to what this country is.
Yep.
And the Chads and Brads simply cannot keep up. I mean, like, think about sports before they let Black people in. It's obvious now, like, it wasn't that Black people couldn't play baseball.
Right.
It's that white people didn't want the competition. And, like, there is, let's be very honest right now, there is some music on country music that to me is unlistenable. And it's because of this lack of competition. It's because there's been a stagnant pool of white dudes co-writing the songs, putting each other on. I look at tour posters of people like, and I'm like, what is the artistic merit here?
Like, it's not even country, it's pop, and it has an instrument that might be confused for
right. And that's almost an insult to pop music. I really think there are artists in country right now who couldn't stand up in a room of even your average open micer in New York City.
Yeah, totally. We're continuing our conversation with Lizzie Ngo here. The new album is called Half Seas. In addition to being a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, you're a podcast host. And you interview musicians just like me. Some of the people that you've talked to, Valerie June, Ben Harper, Brent Cobb, Amethyst Kia, Molly Tuttle, and several more. And I, as a host who talks to musicians, I secretly really enjoy talking shop about that.
Oh, yeah.
So first off, how did you end up getting into that world?
It was so magical. Okay, when I was doing press for my second album, Vanity, Cindy Howes from the Basic Folk Podcast, the founder of the Basic Folk Podcast, reached out to me to do an interview, and we did it over Zoom. And I still remember like where I was when we did that interview because it was so powerful. There are often experiences in interviews where you just don't feel seen, you don't feel understood, it feels like a job. This one is a notable exception, of course.
Thanks.
But when I talked to Cindy, I felt like she just really got me and she asked great questions. And we instantly had like just a vibe. So a couple of years later, she was hoping to bring on a co-host. And so she reached out to me like, would you ever want to do a guest interview on my podcast? And I was so nervous. I was sweaty when she called me. I had never done a podcast before. Mm-hmm. I had this sort of imposter syndrome moment, but she was like, oh, I can teach you how to record yourself and how to basically structure an interview. And once she gave me the training wheels, I was kind of off to the races and I realized how much I enjoyed getting to sit on the other side of the mic.
Dude, this is not fair. I'm literally looking at my questions and I go, what's it feel like to be on the other side of an interview? Which makes you, I don't either a really good host or a really, no.
Sorry.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, what do you learn sitting in the other chair? What are you looking to learn when you sit in the other chair?
Okay, I am looking to learn about, like, I'm a communist, so I'm always looking for the labor angle behind the music. I love asking people, what was your day job when you were making that first record?
Yeah.
What's it like for you on the road? How do you stay healthy? These, like, I like the human interest side. I also love to nerd out musically and ask people about really specific in the weeds production choices.
Like things you hear in the recording.
Yes. Like, what kind of mic did you sing that on? Who was in the room? Did you do live takes? Did you track?
Yeah.
Separately? Because as a musician, I'm just looking for free advice and free information. And when I hear a record I love, I want to know everything about how it was made.
Final question on this. Is there a dream guest? I have a sneaking suspicion based on the tone and tenor of this conversation, but is there anyone that you really would like to interview?
Beyonce Knowles Carter. And Lyle freaking Lovett.
I can speak to one. And
Hey, Lyle.
Absolute gentleman. I felt like I was at a Sunday mass, like just a total gentleman, just really impressive. So here's the question about Beyonce that goes with Taylor Swift, because we often have this internal dialogue, which is because there is a bit of a persona and presentation that comes with that artist, it almost feels like it's an impossible task to ask someone to get someone off of that track.
Mm-hmm.
How would you approach that?
I would probably interview her as Sasha Fierce and just accept that I'm getting a character.
Yeah.
And I want to get to know everything about that character.
That's a great compromise.
Yeah, Beyoncé's been through so much. She's been famous since she was a child. It almost feels like it would be hubris to try to get down to the personal unless she wanted to freely offer that.
Right.
So what I would want to do is to try to engage with this incredible stage persona she's created who's changed the world. Like, Sasha Fierce has changed the world. And so I'd love to interview Sasha. And who knows what kind of quirks that person has.
Lizzie Ngo is here. It's World Cafe. We have one more performance to get to. What should people know about the song that takes us to the promised land, or maybe the perception of the promised land, the song that closes the album, Babylon?
That is a story song about freedom. Babylon is about reproductive justice. It's about Black kids getting to grow up to be flawed, happy, healthy adults. It is about kids in Palestine growing up to adulthood with food to eat and their families intact. It's about free people all over the world walking away from the things that have hurt us and building the world that we want to live in. What that looks like in my life is working with Abortion Care Tennessee. It's an abortion fund out of Tennessee. Donate to us. This is a shameless plug. Pay for someone's abortion. That's a step in the right direction.
Let's listen to Babylon, recorded live. It's Lizzie Ngo on World Cafe.
Sat down by the river, beside the one I love. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Oh, in the midst thereof. We wept when we remembered the place where we came from. Our voices could not rise up singing down in Babylon. No, down in Babylon. Thieves and killers marching through the middle of the town. We knelt and prayed by the unmarked grave where better men lay down, where better men lay down. Then my love said, I'm no father, call me no man's son. But take my hand, we'll go together up from Babylon. Oh, up from Babylon. Desert, some Moab painted red. We sheltered in some stranger's cave and not a word we said. No, not a word we said. Then the devil stood behind us, the deep blue sea beyond. So we pressed the gas and he didn't look back to glance at Babylon. No, to glance at Babylon. Water. Our children sing new songs. They feel no shame and they fear no pain. Away from Babylon, oh, away from Babylon.
recorded live on World Cafe. That is Babylon. It's from my guest, Lizzie Noh. The new album is available now. It is called Halfsies. Lizzie, this was an absolute blast. I enjoyed myself so much. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me and talking about the record.
We're back in a minute with more World Cafe.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.